like to us for us to consider tonight as we gather around the table of the Lord something from Revelation chapter 5. Verse 6 says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." The verses vary somewhat on this, but there's one that I like. It says, a freshly slain lamb. Now, the one that had just been slain. So in other words, the effectiveness of the sacrifice was, it was fresh. It's like it had just happened. You know how things right when they happen, they have an impact on you. Right at that moment. And see, when God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all and he took it away, this had an impact on God that he has never forgotten. And he never will. Sin had been atoned for. And see, so this is now we have a representative in heaven, the very one that took sin away, right? The very one that laid down his life that we might have life is at God's own right hand. All he need do is look to his right. And he's constantly reminded that he can bless you. Ever think about it like that? Jesus took sin away so God could bless you. And what did it cost? It cost him his life, right? He had to die so we might have life. And so dissuades Jesus from giving his life. This was the reason. In fact, he said this is why he was sent. This is the purpose that God sent him into the world, to lay down his life and then to take it up again, right? Why? So that he might bring many sons to glory. What Jesus is doing is the work that he's done already was so effective that God could, that the purpose could continue. Until that was done, Jesus couldn't go back to glory. Well, he never would have died here. This had to happen. Jesus had to die and raise from the dead. Then he could. The purpose could continue on. It wasn't just to send Jesus so he could die. There was more to do. There was the bringing of many sons to glory. Now, before that could be done, sin had to be taken care of, and Jesus had to ascend into heaven. He had to sit down. In other words, God had to give him a kingdom. Remember Daniel talked about he had to give him a kingdom, and then he had to give him all power in heaven and earth, all authority, in order that he might execute judgment. And see, he might administer this kingdom. And we just touched the hem of the garment in understanding all the implications of what Jesus accomplished in his death. We know that he took away our sins. We know that. No man can convince me of that, but Jesus did. Remember when Jesus through baptism, God put you into Christ and instantly you knew my sin is gone. Why? Because it was a testimony. Jesus' blood, the same one that appears in heaven now for us, he gave up his life that we might have life. And at that moment you realized you had life. Jesus' blood touched you and it made you clean, right? See, all of heaven, notice it says, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elders. Jesus is the centerpiece of God in heaven. What God's doing in Christ is the central theme of what's going on. Jesus isn't off to the side. Anywhere in heaven, Jesus is at the center. And Jesus, this is where he belongs in our assembly. This is where he belongs in our heart. This is where he belongs in everything we do. Jesus, he's not going to take second place, right? No. He's not. When he moves in, he moves into the center. In other words, he is all you want. Remember the day you came up from the baptism, waters of baptism? Jesus was all you wanted, and now you had him. You had Jesus, and you felt confident. You felt assured. There wasn't any doubt that day that Jesus was bringing you to God, bringing you to heaven, giving you new things, things you never really understood before. All of heaven is looking towards the Lamb. They're not off over here doing special secret projects. What does the Lamb want? He's in charge. God put him in charge. He gave him the kingdom. And now Jesus is bringing the sons home. So he's engaging all the different personalities in heaven. The principality and powers in heavenly places. They're working for Jesus. What, to do what? To bring many sons to glory. See, we're remembering today the event that allowed this purpose to continue on. And we remember in our hearts and in our lives what this event started. It didn't end there. This wasn't the end of salvation. This was the beginning of new life. But it cost Jesus his life. And remember Abraham, even perhaps unknowingly, he saw a glimpse of this. Remember when they were going up the mountain? And Isaac asked him, he says, Father, we got the fire, we got the wood, where's the lamb? And Abraham says these salient words. He says, God will provide himself a lamb. See, this wasn't something that man could produce. It still isn't something man can. Salvation still isn't something man can work on a little bit and come up with maybe add a little bit. No, God provided the lamb. And the lamb, when his purpose was complete, didn't stay here so we could all gather around him here. Wouldn't have done any good. He had to ascend into heaven, and now he's at the center of what God's doing. This is the Lamb. A little bit further down in the same chapter, this is the Lamb that all of heaven fell down, remember? Fell down before him, and this is what they said, Thou art worthy. Yeah. Why? He did what God gave him to do. Now see, if you keep reading in the Revelation, towards the end, all those who have followed the Lamb, yeah, all those who have followed Jesus, all those who have remembered him, given their life for him because he gave his life for them, the same kind of words are going to be spoken to them. If they have kept the faith, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and now what? You're going to be glorified together with Christ. This is a fitting end to this chapter of salvation. So we don't know what's going to come up in the ages. God does. He's preparing us for something. And see, while we're here, we all know this, but it's good to be refreshed. While we're here, we need to constantly be reminded of the cost of our salvation. Amen. Why? Because it will protect you from thinking small thoughts about what God's done in Christ. What did this blood produce, this Lamb of God, when he gave his blood? This is what it produced. We can commune. We can commune with him at this table. He gave us this table not so we could sit and look at it, so we could take and eat. So we could take the cup and drink. Why? So we could commune with the body of Christ. We could commune with the blood of Christ. His life could be reaffirmed to us over and over and over, because we can't see him with our eyes. But we can fellowship with him in the Spirit. And we do it more precisely at this table. This blood made us close to God, right? Brought us close to God. That's Ephesians 2:18. We have a clear conscience because of this blood. That's what it produced in you. The moment that Jesus' blood touched you, you had a cleansed conscience. In other words, you knew that God wasn't holding your sin against you anymore. It was gone. Jesus paid the price. You became sanctified. 1 Peter 1:2. You were sanctified by this blood. Set apart for another work, a better work, one that would culminate in you being in the throne room with Christ. That's pretty sanctified. You know, sanctified is to set something apart for a specific use. You've been set apart for God's use. And it happened through the blood of Christ. You've been cleansed from all your sin. Washed. That's what it says in Revelation 1:5. Washed us from our sins with his own blood. Now, you can't get any cleaner than that. Yeah, I remember years ago listening to a sermon talking about blood and how it's absolutely impossible to get out. Absolutely impossible. Once you get it in, it's there. That was like sin. You can't, no matter what you do, there's no way that you can get it. You can't undo it. You can't fix it. Jesus did. He washed us from our sins with his own blood. But the cost to do that was his own blood. The life we heard this morning, the life is in the blood. Jesus had to give up his life so that we might have life. And then he asked us, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that the life you have is not your own. It was mine and I gave it to you. Let's do that tonight, brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, for giving us life. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would give us grace. Father, that when we remember your Son, we could do it in the most profitable way. We're asking, Father, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be working in us and helping us to be able to perceive the depths of the treasure that we have in Christ Jesus as we remember his life and his death and what he did for us. In your Son's name, amen. Yeah.